So I'm Murray, for anyone who doesn't know. I'm going to bring the message tonight on where does faith for healing begin. This message is a continuation in a series on healing and deliverance. So tonight I want to preach on the relationship between faith, God's will, the Word of God, perseverance to receiving the promise of healing. Okay, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll just bless us with the revelation that we need out of tonight's message. I pray, Lord, that you'll just anoint it to our ears and that we may hear. And may it really just hopefully change us. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most amazing things about God is that he himself is a faith God. This scripture in Hebrews 11:3 makes me understand God's quest for children of faith. God wants us to imitate him. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. We see that God is a faith God, and he invited people of old into his way of doing things. So Hebrews 11:2 says, "For by it the people of old received their commendation." Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Great Hall of Faith, as it lists the greats of old and what they achieved with God. And he invites us also. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." To believe, to trust, as it says, an assurance, the conviction. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." God demands faith. Hebrews 11:6. "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And he rewards faith and nothing else." James 1:6-7. "But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave on the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." If God demands faith and he rewards faith, we can be assured that he has given us the means to meet his demands. Sure enough, we're given the measure of faith when we believe. Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." It is important to understand that Romans 12:3 and the rest of the book of Romans wasn't written to unbelievers. It was speaking to Christians, people who had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Therefore, when it talks about the measure of faith, it is not saying that faith is available to everyone in the world, but rather that it's available to believers. 2 Thessalonians 3:2 supports this statement when it says, "And that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith." So the wicked and evil men spoken about in this verse refers to unbelievers. They are the ones who don't have faith. So if you're wondering why your unsaved grandmother, brother, neighbor can't understand your spiritual walk or is unable to stand in faith with you for healing, deliverance, provision, restitution, etc., understand it's because they haven't yet received the measure of faith. Salvation is required for that measure to be present. You, on the other hand, have already received it because Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You are a new creation in Christ. Therefore, you have faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Do we pray for faith? You can pray for an increase in faith, and I've done that many times. Even the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6 says, "The apostles said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.' And the Lord said, 'If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you.'" One writer warns, be careful of the words you use in that prayer. Don't just pray for faith as if you don't have any, because you do. And it's important to acknowledge the faith you have. Pray for an increase in faith like the disciples did. Otherwise, he warns that a prayer of, O God, give me faith, I have none, sounds like you are saying to God, I don't actually trust you. God, I have so many doubts that you'll keep your promises. Are you really honest? Do you mean what you say? So God, is there anything you can do to fix this problem of my unbelief, distrust, suspicion of you and your word? So obviously, now that is not what we mean when we pray. But the writer suggests caution with the prayer of faith, that it should in itself be a faith prayer. Increase what you have already given me, Father. So, and I'm not suggesting that we don't pray for such things. I definitely don't agree with the sayings of some Christians. I know they say, be careful what you pray for, you might get it. As if God is sitting up there ready to unleash some sadistic event as soon as we ask for increase. So we stop asking for more. No, he is a good God and he asks us to pray. He wants us to walk in faith. So how do we get faith? The Bible tells us how faith comes. So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. If you see someone who has great faith, chances are they developed their faith. We are all given the means to develop our faith. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. That is, read and study your Bible until you believe it. E.W. Kenyon says, many have never recognized it, but the word is the healer today. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So where does faith begin? F.F. Bosworth said, faith begins where the will of God is known. Can you and I know the will of God? For most of my Christian life, I've prayed using a particular set of words. Those words are, if it be your will, God, heal me. I started using that type of prayer at a Baptist church, and later it seemed to be the approved prayer at a Pentecostal church we attended. It sounds humble, submissive, and you can add, oh God, if it is not your will, then give me the strength to endure this sickness, this disease. Oh God, not my will, but yours be done. Now that sounds like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So humble, and yet so wrong. Jesus bore our sins and our sicknesses so that we didn't have substitution. That was the point. If you owed $1 million debt, couldn't pay it, and a friend paid it for you, would they be pleased that you were still trying to pay it, even though it was paid in full? It is a sad fact that to put the faith-destroying words, if it be your will, into a prayer for healing is to destroy faith, not increase it. We have the full picture this side of the cross. Before the cross, there is only one case in the Bible with someone coming to Jesus with that theology, a leper. There was a leper who met Jesus and he knew Jesus could heal him, but he didn't know if it was his will to heal him. Maybe the leper was having some doubts. Maybe he was thinking, perhaps God has favorites. Perhaps God is a respecter of persons. Do you have doubts? The question for us is, does every born-again believer have the same redemption? Or to say it another way, is it God's will to heal you? Let's read about this leper in Luke 5, verses 12 and 13. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus told him it was his will to heal him so that he could really believe for his healing and put doubts aside. We see the connection with the will of God and faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. The will of God is found in the word of God. It was God's will to heal the leper. Did Jesus say no to anyone? The first step toward being healed is the same as the first step towards salvation. or any other blessing that God promises. The sick person needs to know what the Bible clearly teaches, and that it is God's will to heal until one has lived out the allotted span of life, whatever that is. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith must rest on the will of God alone, not on our desires or our wishes. God's will is better than our desires or wishes. Each individual sufferer must be convinced by the word of God that his or her healing is the will of God. It is impossible to have real faith for healing as long as there is the slightest doubt as to it being the will of God, God's will. So some people don't believe the Bible is God speaking to them. They want a personal revelation, an angel to show up, or for God to bypass their doubts completely and their unbelief and heal them regardless. When it comes to healing, they say, "I'll believe it when I see it." They accepted what the Bible said about God's will for salvation, but when it comes to healing, they don't know God's will or accept God's will. We read the ancients knew God's will. In Psalm 107:19, it says, "They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." King David knew God's will. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 3. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." The modern Christian can struggle to grasp the whole gospel. The gospel doesn't leave us praying, "If it is your will, save me," does it? We need to ask ourselves, does the gospel leave us with doubt for our healing? Those in healing and deliverance ministries believe there is no doctrine more assuredly taught throughout the Word of God than through the atonement of Christ, both salvation and bodily healing were provided. It is God's will to take away the sickness of those that serve him and to fulfill the number of their days according to his promise. Exodus 23, verses 25 and 26. "You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from among you. None shall miscarry or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days." As the types in Leviticus 14 and 15 show, it was invariably through atonement the sickness was healed under the law of Moses. So Matthew 8, 16 and 17 definitely states that Jesus healed all diseases on the ground of atonement. So Matthew 8, 16 and 17 says, "That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. That was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illness and bore our diseases." Perseverance is needed. Not every divine healing comes as a miraculous event. I know it's easy to miss it. I used to stand up, go forward for healing, prayer, wait maybe 2 minutes, nothing. Oh well, it must not be God's will. Maybe next time. I would like to say I was in the faith zone for the full 2 minutes, but the truth is I never left the hope zone. Don't know if anyone can relate. Faith requires perseverance. It is dynamic and not a one-off event, but rather a continuation. We live by faith. So I just want to go to Hebrews 10, 35, 38. "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." We must persevere to the end and not be quick to give up. And again we read in Hebrews 6, 11 to 12, "And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So after the full assurance of hope comes faith. Faith and patience inherit the promises. So God's word is his will, and the word is the seed. The Bible talks about seed time and harvest for salvation, and it's also the same for healing. So we just want to go to Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 8. And when a great crowd was gathering, and the people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. The birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on rocks, and it grew up and it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among thorns, the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. So how do we hear? We are given comprehensive instructions in Proverbs. Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 22. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. So the word of God cannot be health to either soul or body before it is heard, received and attended to. Notice here that the words of God are life only to those that find them. If you want to receive life and healing from God, you have to take the time to find the words of Scripture that promise these results. The promise is that when God's word becomes health to all your flesh, your cancer will be gone. Your emotions will be healed. Your mental health problems will be gone. Your dis-ease will be healed. The promise is that the flesh of thousands today is unhealthy flesh because they have failed to find and attend to that part of God's word that produces healing. This is the divine method of receiving the blessing that God has provided for us. So many have failed to receive healing simply because they've not followed this method. God says that when we do as we're told in Scripture, his words are made health to all our flesh. It matters not what particular kind of unhealthy flesh. God says health to all their flesh. Whose flesh? All those who find and attend to the words of God on this subject. And this is exactly the same way that God's word becomes health to our soul. So in this comprehensive passage, God tells us exactly how to attend to his words. He says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Instead of having your eyes on your symptoms and being occupied with them, let God's word not depart from thine eyes. Look at them continually. Like Abraham, wax strong in faith by looking at the promises of God and at nothing else. As the only way a seed can do its work is by being kept in the ground, so the only way our faith can keep in action is to be like Abraham and keep looking at the promises in the word. So my last thoughts as I get ready to finish, I just want to read Hebrews 11:1-3. So Hebrews 11:1-3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So tonight we have looked at some things on the relationship between faith, God's will, the word of God, and perseverance, and receiving the promises of healing. Christians say, I'll believe it. Is God? It's God's will when I see it happen. So that is not faith. Once you have seen the answer to prayer, faith for that promise stops. And you have to go on to your next promise and exercise faith for that. So I want to encourage you all to go after God's promises with great faith for his glory and our joy. Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to sing a song, I Surrender All. Evangelicals love this song, evangelical Christians, and Pentecostals love this song equally. But it is neither an evangelical song or a Pentecostal song. I believe it is a Christian song. It talks about, I surrender all. So what Murray talked about tonight, that when we surrender and truly put our faith in God, miracles can happen. And it's about surrendering. When I die and have my funeral, I want this song, because I would hope to think that's who I was.